Soul podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
Morning.
I want to echo what Pastor Arnie just said about believing and trusting God, regardless of where you are and what you're going through or you're experiencing. I want to encourage you to never, ever, 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 never give up. And put a stake in the ground, and trust me that in the years that I've been walking with the Lord, and that's now a little over 34 years, turned 62 this year, and I have every reason to believe that everything that God promises us will be fulfilled in some measure. The key is never, ever stop believing. Amen? As you know, I always put a frame to the message that we're going to try to unpack this morning. And I want to talk to you about soap operas. And I want to define for you what the soap opera is, because for those of you who now live, who are a lot younger than we are, this is the definition of a soap opera. Soap opera is a radio or television serial dealing especially with domestic situations characterized by melodrama, usually involving intrigue and controversies caused by greed, lust, lies, and betrayal. How many of you like soap operas? Don't admit it this morning, but a lot of us have sometimes fallen to that. Now, the term soap opera originated from radio dramas being sponsored by soap manufacturers, hence the term soap opera. Now, today, the word soap opera has changed to the term telenovela. And you know that whether you're in Japan, Korea, Thailand, India, the Philippines, Singapore, there is a barrage and a never-ending stream of telenovelas. Why does that sell? Because in many respects, our lives are like telenovelas. We're unpacking literally 41 verses this morning. That's a lot of verses. And it is the ultimate telenovela story of the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 27, verse 1. And I'm going to be in a bit of a rush here and probably skip three verses to cover all 41 verses here. When Isaac was old, this is the first character in our telenovela, was his eyes were so weak that he no longer could see. He called his son Esau, our second character in our telenovela, and his older son, and said to him, "My son, here I am," he answered. Pretty straightforward story. We see the next part of the story. Isaac said, "I'm now an old man and don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your equipment, your quiver and bow, and go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me." Pretty straightforward. He's just asking his son, I want to bless you, and I want you to get this food for me, prepare me some kind of tasty food I like. Bring it to me that so that I may give you my blessing. You will find, as we unpack this story, the repetition of the word blessing. The whole argument here is this idea of the blessing that this man could give his son. And this is really the crux of the matter here. Isaac had a wrong desire of wanting to bless Esau when God clearly was telling him and his wife that the blessing belonged to Jacob. Not that Esau would not be blessed. That's not the point. The point was the primary blessing was supposed to go to the younger son and not to the older son. But Isaac favored, he was his favorite, was Esau. The wrong desire and yet the right way. He wanted to bless him and yet the desire was not the right desire. Verse 5, it says, now Rebekah, the third character in our story, was listening. You could almost see this if you were a director, that the two people were having a conversation, the father speaking to the son and saying, "Hey, would you like to take this thing for me, and I want to bless you?" And somewhere in the shadows, if it was a drama, you could hear the music playing, and the wife is listening, and she could hear this. And she said, spoke to his son Esau. When Esau left for the open country to hunt game to bring it back, Rebecca said to her son Jacob, the fourth character in our telenovela. Now, you follow the trend here. Father favors son. Son is told to prepare the food so that he can bless him. Wife hears it, and wife knows that the blessing belongs to the younger son. Everybody clear so far? Mm-hmm. And now she wants to take matters into her own hands. Bring me some game and prepare me some tasty food to eat so that I may give you the blessing. Now, notice the blessing, right? It's about the blessing. She's repeating to him, you're going to lose your blessing. Your blessing's going to go to this guy if you don't follow me. Now, my son, listen carefully. If you're a mother, don't ever, ever do this. Amen? But this is exactly what she did. Now, this is the telenovela part. Listen carefully to me and do what I tell you. Go out to the flock and bring me 2 choice young goats so I can prepare some tasty food for your father just the way he likes it. This is called manipulation. Amen? This is wicked. This is evil. And by the way, no offense to the women in the room, this is usually what women do. Amen? And here's the reason why. Because they don't have power, they're going to have to use illegitimate authority. That term, by the way, in the Bible is witchcraft. You don't want to go there. You don't want to use illegitimate authority over family, husbands particularly, because there's no way God's going to bless that. Now, verse 10, and take it to your father to eat. Watch this. She's actually conniving against her husband so that he may give you his blessing before he dies. There's the blessing. She's trying to steal. This is the argument here. Now, this time, you have the right desire the wrong way. Are you following? Yep. First one, the wrong desire the right way. This time, it's the right desire, the wrong way. You may have heard of this woman. Her name is Felicity Huffman. She's the big star in the series, the teleseries, the telenovela, the soap opera, Desperate Wives. Emmy Award-winning actress, Golden Globe winner, and nominated for the Oscars. And she not only is a veteran actress, very popular, she has a great marriage. She's one of the few marriages in Hollywood that's amazing. I mean, her husband, William Macy, whom you probably recognize in movies, have been married for so long. They've got a beautiful family. They've got 2 kids, and she's very successful. Now, recently this year, she got into trouble. It was a scandal that involved her paying off certain people to get her daughters through the best, or oldest daughter, through U.S. universities. The scandal was so vicious and so public and so embarrassing that she had become the brunt of everybody's jokes. And at some point, it became so public that it was news. It was daily news. Now, in an art of art mirrors, transfers, life twist, this is, in other words, what this guy is saying is that, or this lady is saying is that this is something that they did in the soap opera that is now playing out in real life. It was the exact same amount of Huffman's character in Desperate Housewives had paid a headmaster in an episode about corrupt school admissions. In other words, this is the soap opera playing in real life. How many of you know the reason why you keep watching that is because there's some truth in it? Now, in real life, her older daughter's exam jumped 400 points, a huge leap, after Singer is the guy that has this racket of paying off school officials to get your kids to the best universities in America. Huffman went to jail for this. It was actually, well, of course, it's not jail as in 14 years. It's more like 14 days with a tanning salon inside the jail, amen? I mean, but the point is, it's embarrassing. Not only is it embarrassing, it's wrong. The worst part is she sent the trajectory of her daughter the wrong way. That's the bad part. It's not the 14 days in prison. It's not the embarrassment. It's you sent your daughter's future to a dump site. When you start having wrong desires or doing things the wrong way, life becomes horrible. So what we're tracking right now in this soap opera is the wrong desire the right way, the right desire the wrong way. Now, verse 11, Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, my brother is hairy. He's got... You know, women have fake eyelashes. He's got all this. You know what I'm saying, right? Okay, so no offense went to the women. I just keep seeing it everywhere these days. But my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I have smooth skin. Basically, he's saying, Mom, this is a lie. You can't do this. We're lying here. It was almost like a signal to the mother. When somebody signals you, you should have something in your system that knows you're about to do the wrong thing, and you shouldn't do it. And this is the guy who's telling his mother, Mom, you shouldn't do this thing. I mean, this is not real. I've got smooth skin. This guy's hairy. What if my father touches me? This is like a soap opera, isn't it? I would appear to be tricking him, and he would bring down a curse on me, myself, rather than a blessing. He's worried. Basically, what this guy is worried about is not even about the truth. He's worried about the punishment. And in a sense, that's good. At least I hope some of you are just afraid that you might actually get into trouble. But I hope your goal is not just because you're going to get into trouble, but because you don't want to do the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Now, verse 13 says, his mother said to him, "My son, let the curse fall on me." This is fearless. This is bad. This is almost saying, I don't care what the repercussions are, we're going to do it this way. Just do what I say. Go down and get them for me. Now, let me take care of this thing. This is actually what this lady did, this Huffington lady did. Or is it Huffington or whatever. So he went and got them and brought them to his mother, and she prepared some tasty food just the way her father liked it. Wow. Then Rebekah took the best clothes. Now he's taking the best clothes of Esau and put it on older son. He's dressing him up. And you know how we do this thing. I was talking to my oldest son last night, checking up on my grandchildren and trying to figure out where they were. And I just, as I was reading this verse, I thought about how I've always wanted my son to be a lawyer. My wife and I wanted him to be a lawyer. He's brilliant. He's smart. He's got photographic memory. When he took up the whatever that test is, IQ, he was like 97% in the world. I don't know where that came from. I mean, that's certainly not from me. But he always wanted to become a minister. From a young age, he wanted to become a pastor. And my father-in-law was a Supreme Court justice. It was the logical trajectory of his career. But for some reason, there was always this desire in him. And sometimes we make the mistake of wanting things for our own children that God really doesn't have for them. And then on top of that, he married an actress, amen? I mean, a pastor marrying an actress, that's weird. But that's God's desire. And sometimes we make the mistake of forcing the situation rather than trusting God.
Yeah.
This is the handbook of posers. This is what the poser looks like. She covered her hands with smooth part of his neck with goat skin. We cover ourselves up trying to pretend something we are, we're not. Very often we find this in Facebook and social media. Then she handed her to her son Jacob the tasty food and the bread that she made. And he went to his father. "My father, yes, my son," he answered. "Who is it?" Jacob said to his father, "I'm Esau, your firstborn." That's what the poser, he's a liar. He's now posing for something that he's not. We end up trying to become who we're not, to the point where at some point we don't even know who we are. We don't even know what the real person we are because we've taken this idea of posing and covering up and dressing ourselves up in a way that really cannot be recognized anymore. "Please sit up and eat in some game so that you may give me your blessing." There's that blessing again. Isaac asked his son, "How did you find it so quickly, my son?" And his answer was, "The Lord gave me." You know, you could be a Christian poser, amen? This guy's a poser. He's posing that I'm even a Christian. God gave me success. I hope you're not that. Look at the person beside you. Does he look like a poser? Here's the problem with posers. It's hard to tell. In fact, you can't tell. The only real people who can tell is you. And so this is not directed at you judging others. This is directed at you figuring out, are you one or are you not? Or are there areas of your life that is, and there are areas of your not that are not? And you don't want to go there. You're going to see in a bit why you don't want to go there. Verse 21, then Isaac said to Jacob, "Come near so I can touch you." Isaac's kind of wondering, why is this kid's voice not the same as the other kid? And so he actually wants to discern. And so he calls him, says, I want to really know whether you are really my son Esau or not. Jacob went close to his father Isaac, so he touched him and said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau." Mom knew exactly how to deceive her husband, amen? It's fascinating when you read. I just love the Bible, don't you? There's some people that get bored with the Bible. I think you're reading the wrong book. This is the best-selling book of all time. There is no book in history that has sold 5 billion copies. None. There is no book that is still selling 200 million copies a year. None in history. And there is none that has been read more than more languages ever because it's a fascinating book. But it's not just a telenovela book. It's a book that will teach you life and give you life. The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau. He did not recognize him. That's what the poser is. It's hard to recognize them. For his hands were hairy like those of his father Esau, so he proceeded to bless him. That's what we do. We try to steal what is from others. We try to get this because of our own insecurities. "Are you really my son Esau?" he asked, and there it is. You just keep lying. "I am." The hard part about this is it really causes your heart and your conscience to become callous, that your sensitivities are gone, and you can't tell whether this is what God wants or what God doesn't want. Then he said, "My son, bring me some of your game to eat so that I may give you my blessing." There's that blessing again. And Jacob brought it to him, and he ate and brought some wine, and he drank. And his father asked him, "Come here, my son, and kiss me." So he went and kissed him. This is such a sad story of your closest relations loving you for something you're not. When we impose our will and our desires on others and insist on having our way, and we end up loving you. "I love you because you've got good grades. I love you because you have a career. I love you because of I love you because I love you, period." Posing. Trying to be something or someone who we're not. When Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and said, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you heaven's dew and earth's riches and abundance of grain and new wine." The truth of the matter is, this blessing is really for Jacob. After Isaac finished his blessing and Jacob had scarcely left his father's presence, his brother Esau arrived and came in from the hunting. Because what Jacob's issue was, the right desire at the wrong time. You got three different scenarios here. The wrong desire, the right way. The right desire, the wrong way, and now the right desire at the wrong time. Still not going to work. In fact, as we follow the trajectory of the life of this man, it is horrible. It is a bad situation as we move forward next year in the book of Genesis and see what posing and pretense and lying and manipulation gets you. Now, further in chapter 31, in verse 31, it says, "He too prepared a tasty food and brought it to his father. Then he said to him, 'My father, please sit up and eat some of my game, that you may give me your blessing.'" Notice, at this point, we've heard the word blessing multiple times. Big part of that is there's power in the spoken word. When you bless people, there's power in it. When my kids were very small, every morning I would declare a blessing over them. "You're going to be great. You're going to be successful. The power of God's going to be upon you. You're not going to be great because you're smart. You're going to be great because you're God's kid." And the more you live with God, the more I bless you. I still do that to this day. I bless you. I bless people. There's power in that. The Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue. When you speak it, when you declare it. And that comes out of you because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Verse 32, Isaac asked him, "Who are you?" "I'm your son," he answered, "your firstborn Esau." So you get the telenovela now. It's almost like the director is springing, the music's coming in, and the revelation is happening. Okay, who are you? And then I said, "I'm actually Esau." Right, verse 33, Isaac trembled violently. "Who was it then that hunted the game and brought it to me? I ate just before I blessed him, and indeed he was blessed." I was blessed, blessed, blessed. When Esau heard his father's words, he burst out with a loud, bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me too." And you followed the life of Esau. We've been tracking with him the last few weeks. It's the wrong desire at the wrong time. This is really the unpack of life. You watch telenovelas and how that actress got into trouble. It begins with desires. When our desires are off, we end up in the wrong trajectory. Desires are powerful, amen? Yep. Desires make you do things you otherwise wouldn't do. I remember my children, when they fell in love with girlfriends, used to be they wouldn't wake up in the morning, and when they didn't even do jogging or run, but when their girlfriends wanted to run, they were awake at 4 in the morning. It was crazy. I mean, what in the world happened to these kids? That's the power of desire. We start doing things that otherwise we were not even willing to pay for. People who don't want to go to gyms, they start working out when they fall in love with somebody. And as soon as that desire gets up, their Facebook photo changes and they're overweight again and in a relationship. We're out of a relationship, whatever. We get into trouble because of our desires. Verse 35, your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing. Esau said, isn't rightly named Jacob? Now he's mad at him. That is the second time he's taken advantage of me. He took my birthright and now he's taken my blessing. Blessing, blessing, blessing. Then he asked, haven't you reserved any blessing for me? Isaac, I'm jumping now because I'm running out of time. I've got 5 minutes here to reveal the big point of the story. Isaac answered Esau, verse 37, I've made him lord over you and made him his relatives and servants. Esau said, do you have anyone more blessing for me? Bless me too, father. And basically, Isaac blessed him, but it wasn't the original blessing. And down in verse 41, it says, Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing his father had given him. And he said to himself, I'm going to kill this boy. Wrong desire, the right way. The right desire, the wrong way. The right desire, the wrong time. The wrong desire, the wrong time. It's pretty much our options in life when our desires are off. Verse 41, the days of mourning of my father are near. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. Where do wars come from? Where do issues and controversies and intrigue problems in homes and families and brothers and husbands and wives don't speak to each other? Where do they come from? The answer is from soap operas, amen? They come from wrong desires. Our wrong desires lead us to deceptions that make us make wrong decisions that lead to disappointments in life. Psalm 37, verse 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord. He says, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. That doesn't mean that everything you desire, God's going to give you. What that means is if you put all your effort and energy and heart and mind towards God and his word, he shapes your heart with the right desires. He molds that heart in a way that your desires become his desires. And because your desires are his desires, your desires come to pass. When we check our desires and fix our desires, because our desires become God's delight. I want to please God. I don't want to please myself. And what I've found over the years is every time I go that route, my desires change. My desires do not start with desires. They start with delighting in him. And as I delight in him, my deception become the great desires, the correct desires, the right things. Which leads me to better decisions, which does not make me have disappointments, but actually give me destiny. Yeah. And that's where you want to go. You want to delight in the Lord. You want to fix your eyes on him. You want to put your mind, that's what it means when you say seek first God. Seek first the kingdom of God. What you're saying essentially is, God, you're the priority. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done. The rest will follow if I follow you. Here's the good part of this story. And I love this part about this woman. She finally in the news said, I'm in full acceptance of my guilt. By the way, if you're a poser, if you're a sinner, that's fine. Just admit it. Worst part is when you try to cover it up and pretend like it's not there. And with deep regret and shame over what I've done, I accept full responsibility for my actions and will accept the consequences that stem from those actions. Desperate Housewives and American Crime Star said in a statement that time, only the public can comment today on what happened. Now, it says here, I'm ashamed of the pain I have caused my daughter, my family, my friends, my colleagues, and the educational community. I want to apologize to them, and especially I want to apologize to the students who work hard every day to get into college and their parents to make tremendous sacrifice to support their children and do so honestly. My daughter knew absolutely nothing about my actions. In my misguided and profoundly wrong way, I have betrayed her. The transgression toward her and the public I will carry for the rest of my life. By the way, our sins will mark us and leave scars. But when we repent, as this woman has done, there will be forgiveness and restoration. My desire is to help my daughter is no excuse to break the law or engage in dishonesty. Two simple points this morning. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. When you delight in God, you'll have the right desires. When you have the right desires, you'll make the right decisions. When you make the right decisions, you will end up in the right destiny. But the second point is, regardless of how big your mistakes are, regardless if you've made decisions like this woman, many are the plans in the man's mind, but it's the purpose of the Lord that will stand. The beautiful thing about the story of Jacob and Isaac, Rebekah and Esau, is that the Jews came from this line. In all their imperfections, in all their mistakes, in all their sins, God's purposes will keep prevailing. Amen? We can trust that no matter how much we fail. Somebody was asking me, I put out an Instagram post of my son had a tattoo in his chest. And so somebody privately messaged me, do you approve of tattoos? I said, that's a long discussion. And so I try to explain to them, it's not about tattoos. It's you don't want to do something permanent that you might want to regret later on. And by the way, that was not a tattoo. That was a henna tattoo. I mean, my sons don't have tattoos. Amen? But regardless of what mistakes you have, maybe you have a tattoo on your forehead, God's purposes will prevail. Amen? Amen? He will overcome. He will change. He will figure out a way. Now, here's where you don't want to be. You don't want to live a miserable life because you didn't delight in the Lord. That's what happened to all of these guys. By the way, Rebekah never saw Jacob again. She died never seeing him again. Misery. That's where you don't want to be. You want to have a great life on earth. And you want to have a great life in eternity with God. Amen? Stand on your feet as we close in a word of prayer. Thank you, Jesus. If you're here and you're saying, God, I just want to be in a place where you are the delight of my life. Lord, I don't want to have my own desire, and I don't have my own way. And I don't want to have my own time. And most of all, Lord, I don't want to have the wrong desire and the wrong time. And the wrong way. And if that's your heart and you're saying, God, I want to delight in you, that my desires, my heart will be shaped by your desires. As an act of faith, would you just lift up both your hands towards heaven? Lord, shape my heart. Lord, make me delight in you. Make me seek you with all my heart. Lord, let this be even a day that marks the day that I say, I will delight in your ways. And Father, even this morning, I pray that you show us areas of our life where we're posing, where we're doing things the wrong way and are leading us to disappointments. Clear the path for us, Lord, that we might truly walk in your ways. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.